Matthew 22. I have some men in the back that are working the sound booth that are now nodding their head because I turned on my wireless. They did hand it to me and said that this is a simple device, but Pastor Chris struggles with it. I said, that makes a lot of sense. He's a Northland grad. But then I said, well, so am I. So obviously I'm going to have troubles as well. It's wonderful to see you. I've never been to this church building before, but I have met much of this church. I did not realize, Pastor, how many folks that are members of this congregation that I've met before. Many at Northland. I must have been overwhelmed with the number of juniors that came up to me and came this last summer to camp. They were quoting whole phrases from messages and telling me things about what I preached, that's very encouraging. And I praise God for some boys and girls that have learned to love God's Word. Pastor, thank you so much for allowing us to be here this week. We do not consider this our right. This is a privilege. Every time that someone is given the privilege to preach, it's a great privilege. But then to preach in really in a situation where God has entrusted this flock of people to the under shepherd of Pastor Verway, we don't take this for granted. And so, by God's grace, God will give us a great week centered around God's Word, and we need this week. This world is so loud. This world is so loud in the influences. We need to come together, and it's good that we are not only just taking the Lord's Day, but we've set aside a week for us to make a big thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's good for us to let the Word of God settle into our minds and our hearts and push out, you know, the voices of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I'm thankful for this calling. Christy and I have many times looked at each other and said, it's so good for us to be in a setting where we have to come together around the Word most every night, because God knew that our little family needed lots of the Word. And I dare say that this week could be a very, very special week for us to allow the Word to cause us to be more like Jesus, for the Word to stir up our hearts about the souls of men, and by God's grace that we'd see some people saved. And this isn't really for our own benefit. It's not for our own records, but the glory of God and the redemption of mankind. And so I trust that you would be out to the services. We will be having the Sunday school hour after this, and then, of course, tonight. The time is slipping me, but I believe it's 6 o'clock tonight. We would love for you to be back to the service. It could be that you're not normally a Sunday evening attender, but could you please come back tonight? We won't have anyone at the door recording your name or taking thumbprints, but we'd love it if you'd make it out to the service tonight. I don't think that there's anything greater going on that should keep us away from the Word. There's nothing that would be shown on the television. There's nothing that we could do in a diversion. And so, if at all possible, could you please be back tonight? We'll have more special music. We'll have really the explanation of what's going to be transpiring this week, so that we can all be on the same page. There's so many exciting things this week. One night we're going to be having a special sacred Irish concert that we have seen the Lord just use in a great way to help be a tool for us to invite our friends and guests to. And that concert will be followed by a 25 to 30 minute gospel presentation. And we'll have another night where we're going to be emphasizing what's next. What is the future events of Bible prophecy? And again, that's been a great night on Wednesday that we've seen the Lord use to help Christians invite folks to hear about the gospel. The teens are in turn inviting their friends for Wednesday night. And so there's something for everybody. Every single night, the children will be dismissed with Aaron Coffey and his wife Stephanie. And they'll be having a special evangelistic children's outreach. And even last week, I was so encouraged. There was a 5th or 6th grade boy that invited some friends, and they trusted Christ. There was about 4 or 5 or 6 boys and girls, that turned from their sins and trusted Christ. And so we're just wanting to make a big deal about the gospel and trust the Lord to give the increase. And would you then look with us together in Matthew 22? You know, I don't know if somebody could get me some water. I'm on some antihistamine and it's kind of drying my whole system out. So Matthew 23 or 22, it says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered together." This is Matthew 22, now verse 35. "Then one of them asked, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" How much better would this country work if people just loved God and loved their neighbor as much as they loved themselves? How much better would this church be if people just loved God and loved their neighbor as much as they loved themselves? How much better would my trailer out back with our children be if Daddy just loved God and loved his neighbor and loved his kids and loved his wife as much as I love myself? May God give us grace. Father, we don't want to just hear the word. We want to be a doer. Lord, I pray that as You quicken us, that Father, that we would yield to Your Spirit. And Father, that we would do and obey what You have called us to, that we would love God. We'd love You. We'd love the brethren. We'd love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. A number of summers ago, my father took my nephew, Ethan, fishing. I grew up in Idaho, and so you can picture grandpa, grandson, fishing poles in the water. Two little hooks, drowning worms attached to bobbers. And all of a sudden, Ethan, he was five at a time, starts squealing with a little five-year-old delight. He caught his first rainbow trout, and he's trying to pull in this piece of flopping fish flesh. He's screaming for Grandpa to come over, and Grandpa comes over with Grandpa arms and wraps him up, and they pull in this fish and they take it off and they put it on the stringer, and then they put another hook on and another worm and they throw it out, and little Ethan just sitting there. Unrehearsed, he looks up to my dad and says, "Grandpa, I love you. Grandpa, when I think about you, Grandpa, when I think about you taking the time to set this fishing trip up and how I'd never caught a fish before, Grandpa, I love you with my mind." I remember as I was going to college, a friend of mine, he fell from a tree. He wrapped his back around a limb that did not break. It flipped off. He landed on his head. He had broken his back, and immediately he was paralyzed on the left side of his body. His fiance comes into ICU in Green Bay, Wisconsin, looks at his paralyzed body, and she said, "Joshua, I made a commitment to you. I love you, and I do not care if I have to push you in a wheelchair the rest of my life." You know what she was saying? "I love you with my will." Something about my kids, it just gets to me. We just had our fourth, and I was sitting by William the other day, and Christy, my wife, was singing, and William leans over and he goes, "Daddy, Mommy is so good looking." And I'm over, "Yeah." I just want to grab him and hold him. Just the other day, we're driving down the road, and little Anna Grace, she just grabs my hand and pulls my hand over and hugs it real tight. And something in my heart is just filled with affection, with emotion. I just love them from the heart. You see, loving God is to be from the mind. It's to be through our will. But it's to touch our affections. Let me ask you about your relationship with God. Do you love God? When's the last time that you were faced with a sinful choice on this end and a choice to love God on this side, and you said no with your will, not because you wanted to, but just because you loved God? When's the last time you were just contemplating the Word? Perhaps even this morning in Psalm 98, and you're just thinking about the loving kindness of God towards you, and all you could say is, turn your head to heaven, and with a humble heart, oh Lord, I just love You. Do you love God? Because loving God is to be the greatest passion of your life. Love God with all that you are. If you're taking notes, I notice a couple of you are. Point number one would be, love God with all that you are is to be a personal, passionate priority. It's to be something that drives you. It says that you are to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Make your love for God a priority. Latter in the verses, in verse 40, it says, this is the first and great commandment. Make your love for God a priority, because first means nothing else than first. It's to be the first thing in your life, the first priority, the front of the line. But this commandment to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, the devout Jew understood this quite well, because in their phylactery, that thing that they would hold their precious scriptures in, wrapped about their forehead or on their forearm, two of the four verses would be about loving God. But the first and greatest, the whole idea is that this is to be a mega thing in our life. The biggest thing in our life, the biggest thing going. This is the original supersize of Scripture. Love God with all that you are. Make your love for God a priority, but make it personal. Did you see all the personal pronouns? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind. This is not a message for you to rib somebody sitting next to you. You see, sometimes when we come to a service, and sometimes when our pastor preaches or there's a special guest speaker, we wish that our spouse would listen quite well. We hope that our child is listening, and there could be a child that hopes that a father's listening. No, you love God with all that you are. Make it a priority. Make it personal. But make it passionate. You see, three times he uses with all. And rather than delineate between the immaterial and the material part of who a person is, all that you are, go after God. Everything that's in your being is to be directed in a love relationship towards God with the same intensity that God loved us through Jesus Christ. Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. The same intensity is what you are to exert when you love God. Do you happen to have a favorite football team? I was on the phone with my high school administrator just the day before yesterday. I was trying to reach my mother, and as I was on the phone, he said, "Where are you at?" I said, "Well, we were in Rochester, and that was last week." And he said, "Oh, have you checked up on my Vikings yet?" I said, "You don't still like that team, do you? But perhaps you have a team that you like, and they win. Do you just sit on your chair, or do you exert passion?" Perhaps they score that winning, buzzer-beating shot from three-point range, and all of a sudden you jump up and you exert passion. Perhaps you're out in Colorado, where I'm from, and you're on a 14,000-foot peak, and you're sliding down a 40-foot incline. At the end of the incline is a 200-foot precipice. Do you just passively slide, or do you exert passion? It wouldn't matter if you had a pedicure, a manicure, or a facial, even a perm. Wouldn't matter if you're wearing a brand new suit. You would exert passion. What if it's that 5-year-old girl that you love with all your heart and she's tumbling? Do you watch her? Or do you leap and wrap your arm around a branch, and maybe at the last moment you grab her muddy wrist and you're holding on for all that you are, and you're screaming for help, and the adrenaline is kicked in, and you're praying and you're pulling and you're hoping against all odds? You are exerting passion. Love God with all that you are. Make it a priority. Make it personal. Make it passionate. But when you love God, it's not just your mind. Did you know that it's possible for you to know facts about God and not love God? Did you know that? I'm sitting in seminary and I'm reading this theology and I'm going through these things and I'm getting all these facts. But for the past 2 weeks, though I was getting these facts, I was letting my heart drift. And there I'm sitting and I'm reading something in some book, and all of a sudden it connected. It became real personal. And I can remember a tear starting to well up, and I closed that book and I just walked out of there and I said, "Oh God, don't let me just fill my head with facts." Because there's some of us, we've been quite educated in the facts of Scripture, but it's just a start. Because even the devil, it says in James 2, verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well." The devils also believe and tremble. You see, loving God is not just the mind, but it's not just the heart. It's not just the affections. It's not just the emotion. Otherwise, what we do this morning is we get a little campfire here in the center, we'd all circle up, hold hands, sing Kumbaya, and have a great service. But it's not just the affections, but it's not just the will. How many of you have ever met a cranky Christian? Would you raise your hand? It's not just running around, "I will, I will, I won't, I will, I won't, I will." No, love God with all that you are. Fill your brain with right thoughts about the Lord from His Word and let it filter down through the will and let it touch your heart. Love God with all that you are. Perhaps you could come across a picture of an older man, the obituary of my grandfather, David Russell. You look at it and you kind of just pass it by. But if I was to see it, I might tear up this morning, because I remember when David Russell moved out from Connecticut to Twin Falls, Idaho, and he moved next door to us, and I'd go next door and I'd either speak too loud, too soft, too long, too loud. He'd come to church with us on Sunday because we'd go out to eat afterwards, and he liked to go out to eat. And my grandfather, though he's an intellectual, a hardworking, a good man, he was a lost man. My grandfather, he began to get blind, macular degeneration, and then in turn he began to listen to cassette tapes. You all remember what cassettes are, right? As he's listening to these cassettes, my mother slipped him the New Testament. And so he began to listen to one cassette a day of the New Testament. There was 18 cassettes. And so he was finishing up the New Testament about three times for every 2 months. And he did this 8 months straight. And at 86 years old, my grandfather put his trust in Jesus Christ. And it could be that you're thinking of some person that's hard, some person that's gone on in life, and it could be that you're thinking that it's impossible. But I want to remind every single one of us, what's impossible with man is possible with God. And my grandfather, he changed. Because the Christian life, it demands change. And my grandpa, he would go down to Jackpot, Nevada and gamble. And I can remember he went one more time and he came back and he said, "Will, I made about $74, but I just don't know if that's the best place for a Christian to be." He used to swear like a sailor because he was a sailor. And he'd cut loose on something. He'd look at me and say, "Will, I'm so sorry. You know what? That's not words that please the Lord, is it?" He used to not like me coming over. And now he'd call up and he'd say, "Hey, Will, you want to come over and watch the Red Sox play? We can drink some Ovaltine." I hate Ovaltine. I'd go over there and we watch play-by-play. And Grandpa and I would have developed this relationship. And then now, 88, he's got cancer. It's incurable. And the insurance money's drying up. And so now he's home. And he needs somebody to spend the night. And I'm the only one that can spend the night and help him change his diapers. And 2-3 times a night, I'd hear him shuffle and I'd hear his voice, "Will? Will, can you help me?" "Yeah, Grandpa, I can help you." I'd go in and I'd help my grandpa. And one night he looks down with his blind eyes and he says, "Will, I just want you to know something. I love you a lot." Grandpa, I want you to know something. I love you too. And I didn't just love my grandpa because I knew he was my grandpa. I just didn't love my grandpa because we had all these good times there at the end of his life. I didn't just love my grandpa because I'm staying up late at night making hard choices. I loved my grandpa with all that I was. And we're to love God with all that we are. All that you are, go after God. Fill your head with thoughts about God. Make choices for the Lord. But let your heart be touched with thoughts about God. Love God with all that you are. But then love God within all that you do. You see, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And you could take all the Old Testament prohibitions or commandments and you could turn them into New Testament choices of love. In fact, three times in the New Testament, the Scriptures take the last five of the Ten Commandments and they list them once in James, once in Romans, once in Galatians. And he lists all those Ten Commandments, or last five of the Ten Commandments. Or then the author or the writer of Scripture turns around and says, or just love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. And we can take the first four of the Ten Commandments and take those Old Testament prohibitions and turn them around into New Testament choices of love. Like the fourth commandment, which says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You could turn around that commandment and turn it into a New Testament choice of love. Of love God with your time. You see, it used to be in the Old Testament, they were to set one day apart for the Lord. But it was one day out of seven. But you as a New Testament believer, you can give God 24/7. It used to be you'd walk into the temple once or twice or maybe even three times a year that you'd bring your sacrifice. But now you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And now you can walk with God and give God your time. Do you understand? What you love is what gets your time. And what gets your time is what you love. It's quite simple. You want to love God with all that you are? Give Him your time. Have you noticed that your time will go anywhere but God? It goes to our technology, our email, websites, news, bestsellers, cable, TV, AM, FM, now even XM. It'll go to our sports. It'll go to our football, lacrosse, baseball, soccer, volleyball. It'll go to our job, overtime hours, early commutes, late lunch, no supper. Our time will go anywhere but God. My little girl, two summers ago, she's pulling on me. Velcro girl, you know, static cling. I got work. The Lord's like, no, you got a daughter. I get on all threes and I'm all fours and I'm looking. She was three. I have four. I promise. These are all mine. I get down and I'm talking to my daughter. You know what three-year-olds talk about? Slides. Dandelions, don't step on cracks because you'll break mama's back. All of a sudden her little love meter's full and she stands up, gives me a kiss, says, I love you, runs off, and here I'm left on the floor with a little tear. I said, Lord, you're good to intervene. Don't let me waste this. Give God your time. Open up the book privately, wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Don't waste another day. It could be you used to rise up early. It could be that you'd spend an extra 20, 30 minutes with the Lord and you'd open up the book and the black marks were not just little scribbles on the page, but it was the living word of God and you feasted and it was your manna and you'd go to work and you'd go do your responsibilities for the day and you'd feed on it, but you drifted away. It could be, ma'am, that you used to have an hour. Perhaps it was 11 o'clock. Other distractions were away and you'd come alone with the Lord. Oh, give God your time. Love God with your time. Because what gets your time is what you love, and what you love is what gets your time. We are not too young. There's not one fourth grader in here that's too young not to spend time with God's Word. There's not one senior citizen that cannot spend time with God's Word. And surely every one of us in between, we must love God with our time. But then love God with your praise. The third commandment says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. And some of us, I think sometimes we look at other people and almost there's a totem pole mentality in our Christianity. As long as we don't speak like that person, as long as I don't say things like that person, I'm not a bad person. But don't you understand? It's not just a prohibition to treat God's name in a light, trivial manner. It's an opportunity for us to use our lips to praise God. One of the greatest verses about praise in Hebrews, it says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Your lips will speak about that which you're seeking with your heart. If you have trouble coming together and corporately worshiping God, I just want you to know as a church how much I enjoyed the service. Singing songs that were thoughtful in nature and strung together as somebody actually planned it and coming together and just worshiping the Lord and listening to the team. And I felt God gave the team grace to sing Crimson River with a beautiful spirit. But you know, you cannot manufacture praise. Praise is always the overflow of the heart. It's just as you love God, it just comes out. Can I tell you something? When I'm away from my family, 2 weeks ago, I was in Guam and I just kept on talking about them. You want to know why? Because I love them. You didn't have to bring it up. It just come out of my heart. And a friend of mine, he said, Will, I'm sick and tired of being shallow. You ever get sick of being shallow? Because shallowness is not relegated to people that are young believers or people that are young of age. There can be people that have been saved for 20, 30, 40 years that are shallow in nature, because shallowness is not relegated to age or experience. Shallowness is in regards to the Word of God. And as a friend of mine, he said, I'm so sick of being shallow. He said, I went into a room to praise God and I praised Him for maybe 2 or 3 minutes and I ran out of things to say. You know what my friend did? He began to go on a quest to know God. He began to take one psalm a day and get a notebook out and he'd journal out who God is and what does God do, and he just let the Word of God transform his thinking. Do you ever get sick of being shallow? When's the last time you got alone with the Lord and the lights were out and you were just standing before the Lord and you're talking to Him and out of the overflow of your heart it just came out, God, I love You. Did you see the lightning last night? Christian and I, we open up the door at 10 o'clock and the north side of the city, the lightning's just pounding its way across the sky. The strikes were coming down 2, 3 a second. I've never seen so many lightning strikes in just a short time. Can you look at the clouds and the power that's demonstrated and say nothing to the Lord? D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he said this, can a man see himself a sinner without emotion? Can a man listen to the thunderings of the law and feel nothing? Or conversely, can a man really contemplate the love of God in Christ Jesus and feel no emotion? You see, praise is just the overflow of the heart. I remember walking out on the soccer field and I was talking with the Lord, and it was the first time in my life that I even started to understand the idea that God loved me unconditionally, not based on my performance, not based on what I could do, not based on what I didn't do. And I just started to think about God's love for me that was so richly demonstrated through Christ. And here I am, I'm in the middle of the soccer field, and I got tears coming down my face. You say, Will, but we're from Minnesota, we don't cry. I'm from Idaho, we don't cry either. Give God your worship. Sing from the soul. But then give God your service. You see, the second commandment was, thou shalt not bow down thyself nor serve them. This was the whole idea of graven images that you in turn would submit yourself to and give your service. You see, one of the greatest ways you can love God is with your service. This prohibition was not to serve false idols, but don't just stop there. Turn it around and say, I'm going to give God my service. I'm going to submit myself to Him. One of the greatest places to submit and serve God is in your local church. The greatest way to serve God is through your own life and your gift. We all have different gifts. And whatever your gift is, use it with all of your strength. It could be a teaching gift. It could be a ruling gift. It could be a service gift. It could be a mercy gift. But whatever your gift is, serve God with all of your hearts. Turn it from a duty to a delight, else you might wrestle with anger and disillusionment and bitterness. I've known people who have been serving before because they felt that like they were supposed to, trying to earn God's acceptance. No, turn it around and just serve because you love God. Just say, God, this is all I have. I got a checkbook, Lord. And Lord, you know that the way that all the other things are. And so I'm just going to write this because I love you. God, I've got some hands. I could build that room. God, I've got a heart that's full of mercy. I can go love on that one. I can take those flowers over there. Just serve God with all that you are. Love Him. But then love Him with your thoughts and affections. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. This commandment prohibits every type of mental idolatry and any inordinate attachment to the things of this earth. And love God by thinking about and enjoying Him. Aren't you glad that throughout the day you can enjoy God? Aren't you glad He hasn't left you alone? Aren't you glad you can worship Him as you walk and as you work and as you do whatever God's called you to do? Love God by thinking and enjoying Him, because what gets your attention and your affection is what you worship. A.W. Tozer said, "We may want God, but we want something else more, and we get what we want most." We may want God, but we want something else more, and we get what we want most. This world conspires against a relationship with God. And that's why Paul wrote in Colossians 3, verse 2, "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. We still give our thoughts to things that are material, the lust of the eyes, things that are sensual, the lust of the flesh, relational, the pride of life." Even this morning, as we were singing, God was speaking to me about the quiet time that I get as I lay in bed. You know, last night I was just dreaming about something, and I was just going on and thinking about this whole process. And typically I've given that time to the Lord. And even this morning, God was speaking to my heart that there's just times that I need to give to the Lord. I don't need to be fearful. I don't need to let those times be filled with anxious thoughts. I need Christ to have those times. Give God your thoughts and affections. So love God with all that you are. Love God with all that you do. But love God for the rest of your life. Where does this love come from? In context of this scripture, we see here's this group of Pharisees who send this lawyer, and they're trying to trip up Jesus. They're trying to say, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus Christ in turn replies in such a way that He gives this commandment that's impossible for anyone to do completely. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind." It is impossible to love God that way, because we are not born with a natural love for God. In fact, John 3 verse 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Can I tell you something? As cute as I think my children are, it would not be long if we brought my children up here and perhaps mixed them with the Burway and the juvenile kids, and pretty soon there'd be some serious problems because of my children, of course. You know what? Every one of us, we are born with a selfish, rebellious, proud heart. Every single one of us have fallen short. In fact, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? In Romans 3, it talks about how we do not have righteousness. In fact, Pastor prayed about this. He was talking about the idea that none of us are born with a righteousness that's required for us to enter into God's presence. There's none that understand it. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And then specifically, Romans 3 begins to tell us their tongues they've used with deceit. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You see, every single one of us, we've made choices to break God's law. Every single one of us have made choices to go our own way. I was talking to this senior citizen. She was 74 years old. And I'm sitting there, and the pastor said, "Will, would you kindly share with her the gospel once again?" And as I began to share Christ with her, I just began to walk through the law. And I walked through how that we are not capable of keeping the law. And I talked about lying. And this dear lady said, "Well, of course I've lied before. I talked about taking other people's possessions. Well, of course, I can remember stealing a few things. I talked about murder and how that Jesus said if we hate a brother without a cause, we're in danger of the same judgment. And she said, oh, Will, even to this day, there's somebody that I have a grudge against. I talked about covetousness. And she said, oh, there's many things I wish I could have. I said, ma'am, do you see that you're a sinner? And this dear 74-year-old lady, she looked at me and she said, Will, I've just never realized that I was a sinner. I knew everybody else sinned. I knew that we all sinned. But I just didn't see that I've made choices to sin against God. And can I tell every person here, we're not born with a natural love for God, but actually we're all born with a propensity to go our own way. This bentness to badness, this perpetual out of alignment. You see, we're not born with a natural love for God. To have a love for God, you must be saved. You need a heart transplant. We're born with this heart that's selfish in nature, but we need God to take our old heart and give us a new heart. And that's why I quote the verse that I've already have in this sermon, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth God is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And God loved us first, and He did this work. And I'm praying that He'll do a work in your heart to show you that you're not born with a love for God, but in turn that you need God's love in you. I want to testify and encourage this group of believers, because there's a group of believers about 45 minutes ago, 2 years ago, I was preaching. It was a Thursday night. And as I was preaching a very similar message to this about the love of God, there was a girl who was 22. She raised her hand at the conclusion of the service and she said, I'm not sure I know where I'd spend eternity. She left the service. She forgot a cell phone that she needed to give somebody. So she walked back in. And as she walked back in, I said, I noticed you raised your hand. Are you sure that you'd spend eternity with God? And this 22-year-old girl, this Minnesota girl, just starts to cry. And she says, Will, I've grown up in a formal church. I've been baptized, confirmed, catechized. And Will, I knew a lot of those verses you talked about. But I have never ask the Lord to save me. And we sat down in a room, kind of like one of these side rooms. And we sat down and I'd start the verse and she'd finish it. And I'd start another verse about her sinfulness or a verse about God's grace or about Jesus Christ died on the cross. And then this girl of 22, she prayed a prayer like this. She said, Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to be separate from you for all of eternity. I deserve your judgment or punishment, but God save me through Jesus. Wash my sins away. She looked at me and she said, Will, it's almost like it went from my head to my heart. You know, it was really encouraging. Monday night, we're just at the same church. This is just a couple days ago. And this now 24-year-old lady who'd been saved 2 years ago comes up to me and she says, Will, I want you to know something. 2 years ago, I got saved. Wednesday night, she brought her husband. He listens to the message. There was another lady got saved 2 years ago and she brought her sister, and her sister just got saved 3 or 4 nights ago. The gospel works. And the gospel could work in your heart if you're here knowing facts about the Word, but not having a personal relationship with God. God could save you from your sin. You see, it comes through salvation, but it continues through the Spirit of God. I love Galatians 5, how it says, by the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. It could be that you have a good heart, but you've got poor circulation. It could be that you've sown to the flesh, and there in turn you need the warning of Paul when it says, Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and it could be that you've been sowing to the flesh, because really the opposite of choices of love towards God is choices of selfishness, it's choices of fleshliness. And it could be that there is a 40 or 50 or 60 year old person here that though you've been saved for many years, you've been sowing to the flesh. Can I invite you this afternoon to cease from your sowing to the flesh and begin to sow to the Spirit, making choices of love? It could be that you've got a new heart, but it's got terrible circulation. You need the Word to push out the plaque of the world from the arteries of your spiritual heart. So we make these choices. God is so kind to us. And He says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." It could be that there are some of you that God is pushing. He's pulling. He's prodding. He's prompting the heart to seek His face, because ultimately a love for God comes to those that seek His face. And if you'll seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all of thy heart, it tells us in Hebrews 11 verse 6, "But without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Oh friend, if you have waned in your love relationship with God, seek His face. It's Christ that saves. It's Christ that renews the heart. It's Jesus Christ. Set your affection on Him. Maybe the best thing that some of us here as believers could do is this afternoon we could tune out, we could turn it off, we could fail to log on, and we could open up the Word and just immerse ourselves in 3, 4, 5, 6 chapters with some music that's Christ-honoring, and let our heart be once again rekindled in its love pursuit of Him. Would you join me in prayer? Father, help us not just to know that we need to love God, but help us to love You for the rest of our life. With their heads bowed, who'd say, "Brother Will, God is pushing me. He's stirring my heart. He's prompting me. He's pulling me to love Him with more of my time or my praise, service, or thoughts." Who'd say, "Brother Will, God's just pushing me. He's just pulling me. It was good for me this morning to hear the message because God's pushing me just to love Him more." If that's you, would you slip up your hand? Just push it up. But God bless you, folks. My hand's up. Well, I want to love God more. This is kind of one of those general questions that's just like, who just joined and say, "Brother Will, God's just pushing me to love Him more." Would you lift your hand? Sure. Put your hands down. I wanted to say, "Brother Will, I know that I've gotten away from loving God with a personal passionate priority. I can think of things that are specific." It could be that you're like the church of Ephesians. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." I wonder who'd say, "Brother Will, there are some specific things that are robbing me of my love relationship with God. Some specific things that are hindering me from going after God with my time and passionately and with my whole heart." Who'd say, "Brother Will, I know specific things that are hindering me in my love relationship with God." If that's you, would you lift up your hand? You can put your hands down. Who else? Say, "Brother Will, I know specifics that are getting in the way of me going after God." Are there others? Just lift up your hand. You can put your hands down. I wonder who'd say, "Brother Will, I know that I'm saved. I know that without any doubt that I'd spend eternity in heaven, because where does this love come from? It comes first of all through the Spirit. It comes first of all through salvation." Who'd say, "Will, with no doubts, I know Christ as my Savior. There's been a time in my life where I've been saved. The time in my life where I've turned from my sin and trusted Christ." Would you lift your hand? "Brother Will, I know Christ as my Savior." Would you lift your hand? You can put your hands down. Who'd say, "Will, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity. Brother Will, I'd be like that senior citizen at 74 who had never seen myself as a sinner. Will, I'd be like that 22-year-old girl that had never put my trust in Christ." Who would just lift your hand and say, "Will, I would really appreciate if you'd pray for me, because I am not sure where I'd spend eternity." Would you lift your hand so I can see it? Just put your hand up. God bless you. Are there others? "Will, I'm just not sure where I'd spend eternity. I don't know if I've ever truly been saved personally." Would you lift your hand? Are there others? You can put your hands down. would you be so kind to look up this way, all of us? In a moment, we're just going to sing, just have a hymn played. As this hymn of invitation is played, I'm going to invite you to come and just kneel and pray. Perhaps you can't kneel. Perhaps you'd like just to sit in the front or there by the choir seats and just talk to the Lord. But if you're here and you're not sure where you'd spend eternity, I'm going to invite you right away just to slip out of your chair, and Pastor Verway is just going to be down here. And just say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'd spend eternity with Christ. I don't know. Could somebody please show me? And you know what they're going to do? They're just going to open up God's Word. And we can't force you to be saved. Nobody's going to force you to do anything. But what they will do is they'll show you from the Bible how that you can make a choice to turn from your sin and trust Christ alone. And in a moment, when the piano begins to play in a moment, then you just come right away and tell Pastor Verway. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed. I'm going to pray. When I finish praying, I'm going to invite the piano to play. Father, thank you so much for these that have raised their hand that are unsure of where they'd spend eternity. Father, thank you so much for those that raised their hand saying that there were specifics that they knew that they need to deal with. And Lord, thank you for pushing many of us to want to love you more. Lord, help us to respond as you've spoken to us. In Jesus' name, with our heads bowed, as the instruments play, you come.